If you got your Bibles open up to Philippians. I know, I've been looking for trouble, don't I? Amen. The first chapter, the 12th verse, it's already up there, so I'm assuming that you already have it.
Amen.
Amen. Now, we're dealing with a man who is locked up. He's incarcerated. Amen. Or he's in jail. Mm-hmm. Or he's in prison.
Uh-huh.
But he's behind bars. No, he's behind brick. I don't even know if they had bars back in them days. And he's in the inner part of the prison, so.
Yeah,
well,
he's way down.
He's way down there. He's way in there. Mm-hmm. Amen. But the understanding of the whole situation is the fact that in spite of where he's at and what he's doing,
come on now,
he's still ministering.
That's right.
We find ourselves in a whole lot of different situations, financially, physically, spiritually, domestically. But God expects us to do what we've been called and chosen to do anyhow.
Amen.
I'd like to make excuses for not doing it. Because, contrary to popular belief, I don't want to stay in the bed this morning. Y'all can be for real. I know y'all didn't want to get up this morning. Oh, man, that was rough this morning. But we have to do what we have to do.
Amen.
And the message is victory, not when you go through the trials, but victory in the trial.
Come on now.
Amen. Amen.
That's what victory is.
That's right.
You can always say, well, I made it through and I got the victory.
Yeah.
Pastor Hart used to, and Timmy used to harass me, and then he would ask me if I had the victory. You know, when he knew that you were steaming and you didn't have any hair on the back of your neck, but something was standing up back there anyway. Because that's just how hot you were. You would say to yourself, the nerve of him. And then he'd turn right around and say, you got the victory? What are you supposed to say? A couple times I said, no. But you might as well get it, brother. So I started learning to have victory in the midst of the trial.
Amen. Amen.
Fire or whatever it was, I learned to have victory in it. The verse reads, but I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. So that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds. But the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel, what then, notwithstanding, every way, whether in patience, pretense, or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and I will rejoice. If you read this carefully, you will come to the understanding that he's not the only Christian that's in there. And just as he's ministering, somebody else is ministering. Only they're not ministering under the direction of the Spirit of God. So what Paul is telling us, he's letting us know, he's saying, look here, I'm in jail, of course. But he wrote this letter while he was locked up. And he said, I'm locked up, but I want you to understand that what has happened to me, even though I'm in prison, was not meant to stop me. It was meant to enhance me.
All right.
The trials that we have in our lives are not meant to stop us or to hurt us, but it's meant to enhance who we are in God.
Right.
That means that's why there's certain scriptures that say, having done all to stand, you have to what? You have to keep standing. After you have stood in yourself, now you have to figure out how to stand in God. Because if you don't stand in God, you're not going to make it. Because you're going to have people come to you and tell you things and, you know, just all kinds of stuff. And you're going to have to know who you are in God and what God's word is in you.
That's right.
So that you can manifest the glory of God in spite of everything. Yeah. With so many things going on in the world, we're moved by some of everything now. Paul is saying, though, listen to me, I've actually been able to do a greater work in here than I was out there. Mm-hmm. Isn't that strange?
Right.
That he's doing, even in the book of Acts, mm-hmm. when he was locked up, and he was telling them, he told them, he said, look here, I'm paraphrasing, look here, I've ministered to more people being locked up in this lodging because they're coming to me. I got Pharisees and Sadducees and all type of people coming to me to visit me in this lodge. Some I persuaded, some I didn't. Them I persuaded, grace be unto God. Them I didn't, grace be to them too. Because it don't change the fact that I have to do the work that God has called me to do.
Amen. Amen.
So here we have Paul wanting you to understand immediately what he's dealing with. But I would, should you understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather. Everything that happens in your life happens for the good. You may not see the good. You may not feel the good. You might not understand the good. But it's happening for your good. All things work together for the good to them that love God and are called according to his what?
Purpose.
To his purpose. Well, you say, is it God's purpose that I go through these things? No. But it's God's purpose that you stand in the midst of them.
Come on now.
And proclaim him to be Lord.
Come on now.
That's why I said this is the day that the Lord has made. God made every day, so we have to figure out a way to rejoice in it.
That's right.
Amen. If you don't figure it out in Christ, you're not going to make it.
Amen. Right. Amen.
Amen. I'm going to read you this. Now, I want you to know, believers, that what has happened to me, this imprisonment that was meant to stop me, has actually served to advance the spread of the good news regarding the salvation of God. My imprisonment in the cause of Christ has become common knowledge throughout Praetorian or the Imperial Guard. This means he's ministering to the guards, too. He's ministering to everybody that's in prison. What's going on is he's creating a many-membered body.
All right.
How's he doing that? Because these guards are going out that he's ministered to, that he's reached, and they're ministering to their families.
Come on now.
Their families are ministering to their friends.
Yes.
Their friends are ministering to their cousins.
Yes.
Well, it's going on and on and on. Remember, we can be locked up in our situation and still minister to folks that need to be ministered to.
Amen.
You can't tell somebody they can be delivered if you've never been delivered.
Amen.
You can't tell somebody God is a healer unless you've been healed.
Amen.
You can't tell folks that God is the deliverer unless you've allowed yourself to be delivered.
Amen.
You have to be first partaker of anything that you go through so that you can let somebody know that they can make it.
That's right. That's right.
And I got news for you. They're going to look right down into your spirit and see if you know what you're talking about.
Right.
I come to a lot of folks who tell me that God did this and God didn't. I'm going, okay. But it don't manifest in their lives.
Uh-huh.
Amen. I bowl. I say, if I can bowl, I can go to church.
Amen.
Our thing should be, if I can work, I can go to church. But we say, I can go to work, but I can't go to church. Because that becomes a rest day. It's quiet in here today. Amen. I wish I could have met this man. Say, well, why didn't you want to meet Jesus? No, I'm going to meet Jesus. I wish I could have met Paul.
Come on now.
now. Make it plain.
So he can explain to me and share with me all the fiery trials that he went through. Now, he was discouraged at times. You say, well, no, yes, he was.
Yeah.
He was discouraged. There was time he felt betrayed. He felt beat up. Sometimes he had to shake the dust off his feet and keep it moving. Do you know that this man spent more time in prison than he did on the outside?
Yeah.
I almost think every town he went into, they locked him up.
Right.
If they weren't locking him up, they were carrying him and tossing him out of the town. In the process of tossing him out of the town, they was throwing rocks at him. He said, I've been beaten by my own countrymen, which is supposed to be against the law.
Exactly.
That's supposed to mean that another Roman is not allowed to beat another Roman. They beat him anyway. Can you imagine? That's just how bad people hate the gospel. And when you represent the gospel, don't think it's strange if they hate you. He says, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in the palace and in all other places, meaning that now I can touch everybody. Everybody's being touched. Everybody is experiencing what I have experienced in God. So it's your responsibility to make sure somebody understands that the gospel is more than words, but it's a life. It's a breathing life that we have the ability to allow other folks to have. I didn't like jail. Didn't like it at all. It wasn't no fun to me. How many of y'all have been to jail? You, Russell? Oh, yeah, I did come get you. Thanks for pointing that out to me. Amen. Lord, have mercy. Some folks get jailhouse religion. I can't tell you how many folks that I've ministered to that when they got in, I tried to get them to turn their life over to God when they was outside. When they got locked up, then they were ready. But see, you can't be confident in that because when they get back out, they're going to leave Jesus in prison. Paul said, I'm trying to establish something in their lives so that when they decide to get out, they don't leave him here. They take him. You say, well, how are you going to leave Jesus? Because you change your mindset the moment you walk through the door. Ministry is all about love. If people know that you love them when you minister to them, they'll receive what you have for them. If they think you're just blowing hot air, they're not going to accept it. There's a guy that I decided to, his wife had told me that he was in the hospital. So I decided to call him. So he gave me his number. I called him. And he said, how you doing? I said, I'm doing fine. He said, how are you? He said, I absolutely cannot find out what's wrong with me. I need them to find out what's wrong with me so they can treat me so I can get out of here. I said, well, let's pray. He said, oh, okay. Kind of hesitant. He was thinking, I don't need no prayer. I need a doctor that's going to help me get out of here. So we prayed. I didn't pray that God healed him. Since he wanted the doctors to find out what was wrong with him, God led me to pray that the doctors find out what was wrong with him. Today he's still telling the story. I run from him. He tells the story to everybody. And I'll be trying to... in and told him, we know what the problem is. Mm-hmm. Guess what? He's been running from God ever since he got out.
Amen.
It wasn't me. It's sincerity.
Yes.
Because I told him, I love you, bro. And he believed that. And that's what set him free from what he was dealing with. And that's what Paul's trying to get us to understand when ministering the gospel. It's good news.
Amen.
It's supposed to set people free.
Yes.
It's supposed to encourage folks.
Yes.
It's supposed to let them know that the race they're running is not in vain.
Yes.
It's supposed to let them know that there's something greater that they have the opportunity to possess in their lives.
Amen.
But if they look at you and they can't believe you, then they're not going to accept what you have for them. Here we have this man. He says, look here. My bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace. Meaning that it wasn't the palace that he's talking about, a building, but he's actually talking about the guards that are in the, that can pass around the building, in the building. He says, this gospel that God has placed in my life, I have been able to minister to these guys, and it is all through the kingdom. It's all through the kingdom. Doesn't matter that I'm in prison, that I'm locked up. The word of God has the ability to reach out far beyond anything you could imagine or think.
Amen.
So here this man is saying, he says, and many of the brethren of the Lord waxing confident by my bonds. Meaning that a lot of these folks who thought they knew the gospel are encouraged that they're here finding out the real truth. We got to be real true.
Amen.
There was a pastor here yesterday. He made a statement, and it was very, it was very positive. It was a great statement, and the statement was that we were at a celebration and not a homegoing.
Right.
And then last night, either last night or this morning, you know, we're not going to the restroom. It's like it's the quietest place in the house.
Right.
At least most of the time it is. It has its moments. Nevertheless, God was telling me, he says, let me show you something. Let me tell you something. He said, it is a home going. It's a home going for those that come to honor him or honor them. It's a home going for them. It's a celebration to God. So, when we send people, it's because of us. Because, see, the problem with it is, we don't really release them until the casket closes.
My Lord.
As long as it's open, we're looking at them, and we're not releasing them. We're holding on to memories, to holding on to so many things. But once it seems like the casket closed, you have the ability to release them. And Paul is saying, you can be released from whatever troubles, trials, and tribulations that you're dealing with in your life if you allow this word that's in this Bible to enhance your life or to transform your mind or to change your thoughts and your ideas to let you know that there's something more important than complaining.
Amen.
I can get good at that, Pastor.
Amen.
I complain so much, Mary, that I give myself a headache. I'd be like, mind, shut up. I rebuke you, mind. I had to rebuke myself, Brother Andy. You ever just had all these thoughts just going through your head? And you'd be like, come on, cut me some slack. And many of the brethren of the Lord waxing strong, meaning they became strong because he was there.
Uh-huh.
Oh, wait a minute. Because you're in your situation, because you're going through the trial that you're dealing with, you now have the ability to cause people to become stronger in whatever it is they're dealing with.
All right.
Yeah.
That's why it's important that if somebody asks you how you feel, just, I'm doing okay.
Uh-huh.
We come to a place where we want to tell folks, we can feel like, and tell folks, I feel great. Why are you lying?
Right.
If you don't feel good, you just don't feel good. It ain't no transgression to tell the truth.
Amen.
We were scared one time when we were growing up, Mother Robert, to tell folks we had a headache. Because we was worried about them telling us, where's your faith? Huh? Until we got into the Gospels and found out, Paul said, I'll show you my faith according to my works. I got a headache, but I'm in church giving God the praise.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen. Look at the things that we've been through, but yet we still can give God the praise.
That's right. That's right. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
You know who one of the strongest men that I ever met is? Is that man sitting back there in that corner. Yeah, you right, Andy. What you looking across? If something bothers him, you will never know it.
Amen.
You almost have to cut him open and go in there and see what the problem is, because you ain't going to admit it. He ain't going to offer it to you. And sometimes we spend so much time whining about our conditions. Oh, well. I know. I'm not talking about something I don't know about. I'm telling you about something I know about. You should have saw me when I had that knee surgery. I was whining, wasn't I, sweetheart? I was like, they better not ask me to do the other one. Ain't no way in the world I'm getting my other knee done. I don't care if it's locked up. I'm not going to get it done. And every time I go back and get the left one checked, he go, well, when you going to get the right one done? I said, I think not. I don't think so. It can swell as big as my head, and I'm still not going to get it done. Because I decided, look at him over there. He's trying to get me to get both of them done at the same time. And I sat there one morning looking at my knee and waiting on the therapist to come, which I was hoping he was going to call and said he couldn't make it that day. Because they think it's fun to make you work that knee. You said, he said, are you in pain? I go, yeah. You think he stopped?
No.
Let's do 10 more. I go, Jesus, he got to go. I'm sure Paul was saying, you remember that? Remember when he was crying? He says, Lord, why have you sent Satan to buffet me?
Uh-huh.
When he was crying to the other apostles, he says, I've been through more than you've been through. I'm sick of listening to your issues. Look what I've been through. I've been scantily clothed. I've been in situations where I didn't have no, barely had any clothes on in the cold conditions. I've been to a point where I didn't have nothing to eat. I just had to believe God and suck it up and keep it moving.
Yeah.
I've been in situations where my own countrymen decided that it was time to just beat me. And at the same time, I'm still dealing with what's going on in my own head because I'm reminded of how I persecuted
Come on.
The Christians.
Come on.
And I found out that could be the biggest problem that we can have sometimes. It's what's going on in our own mind.
Amen.
Come on now.
That's why he wrote everything he wrote, that inspiration under the inspiration of God that he had, came from experiences.
Yes.
He said, forgetting those things which are behind me, and press.
Amen.
My wife likes to tell me, it's a blessing in your press.
That's right.
Like, I'm supposed to be encouraged by that all the time. And then then she plays this mind game on me. She'll go, well, why don't you go back to bed? And she know I'm going to say, oh, no, I'm going to church. She didn't know I knew that. So now I'm hustling to get myself ready. I'm in such a hurry, I leave out of the house to get my suit jacket. I'd be blowing her phone up trying to, hey, don't forget my suit jacket. But as we have to press. Paul was saying you have to press. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife. I got some guys I know every time you shake their hand, they got speaking tongues. But they get super spiritual. Get the hucking and stuff. I'd be like, look at my hand go. Voice change. Go from speaking in a regular voice to, well, you know, man, you better come on here. You weren't talking like that a few minutes ago. Paul is saying, don't do it in envy or strife or for vain glory. Do what you do because it's under the inspiration of God. And you truly want to see folks' lives enhanced and uplifted and strengthened and fortified in the gospel of what? Good news. Some indeed preach or proclaim Christ even of a envy. You ever met folks like that, Pastor Keys? Yes. It ain't nothing you can do about it. Oh, my goodness. The one preach Christ of contention. What verse is that? I'm going to read that to you. You're going to write this. 15, 16. The latter preach Christ out of love because they know that I have put here by God on purpose. Did he say he been put there by God on purpose? Could it be could it possibly be that you're in the situation that you're in because God needs you there? The Hebrew boys find themselves in what? Fiery furnace. Why? Because of the king? No, because God needed them there.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
You find yourself in your fiery furnace. Why? Because God needs you there. Because if you're there, you can minister to somebody that's on their way there.
Come on now.
You know what the good news is? You. You are the good news of the gospel. Because you represent the good news.
Amen.
Jesus said, go into all the world, proclaim the gospel.
Yes.
You can't take a Bible everywhere you go.
Amen.
I like to see you sitting up in the Social Security office reading your Bible.
On your phone.
That'll work on your phone. Everybody ain't phone savvy. I went to the Social Security office the other day and I kept ruining everything. I warned her. I said, you know what? You put me on this computer, you're going to be in trouble. She put me on the computer and left me by myself. I got the whole thing filled out and wanted to back it up and hit the wrong back. And erased the whole sheet. And I sat there afraid to tell this lady that she got to put me back up so I can redo this sheet. And I was sitting there like, Jesus. Should have brought this chair. He done this already. I thought I said, I look here, I don't do nothing. All I do is go to church and run my mouth. And spend church money to keep the building going. say, well, that's okay. I'm saying, So now I'm praying for her. Jesus, please touch her. Let her be peaceful and kind and loving, because this is only the beginning of my screw-ups on this computer. Screwed it up again. They had a thing on there where you had to put in something. You had to put in your code, and then you had, but you had to do it a certain way with signs and symbols and stuff. What the heck am I supposed to do with these symbols? So I get, I'm constantly trying to get my code in. Hit symbol, hit this symbol, hit that symbol, hit. Finally, I ring the bell. Now, understand, this is about the fourth, fifth time that she had come over there. One time I stood up and looked over the things like, can you help me over here? And she just smiled. And then she come over and she said, you know what, Mr. Gardner, this is what, I'm going to sit here. You give me your information, I'm going to put it all in. I said, cha-ching, baby. It's going to be right now. And she got to typing. I was calling out, she was putting it in. I called out, she put it in. I mean, she was going to town. Next thing I know, she said, we're done. I got some papers for you to sign. I'm saying to myself, she should have done that in the first place. But I thank God that she was kind.
Yes.
Amen. I think if I had gotten mad at her, and she could have felt that in my spirit, I'd still be at the Social Security office. Trying to get that thing typed out. But I think it was because God allowed me to have a loving spirit.
Come on now.
That she was able to comprehend that and sense it.
Yeah.
So she was willing to help me. She actually got mad at one of the ladies because she walked by me and didn't help me. She didn't help you. I go, no. She said, that's all right, I got it. I said, thank you so much. I said, you are so sweet. You are just wonderful. They ought to give you a raise. She said, you're right. Next thing I know, she was talking to me about her kids, about her daughter. I said, yep, I got allergies real bad too. Sinus, she said, yeah, my daughter has been sick for about 2 or 3 days. All the time, she was working, getting me signed in and everything. When I was done, I said, while I was sitting there, something went boom. I look out the window, somebody's car is on fire.
Oh, my God.
I mean, it's on fire. Oh. The tires were melting. The, you know, the plastic they make our cars out of now, it was melting. And the lady had went out to move her car because the car was sitting right next to it. So when the lady come back in, it's like her attitude changed. And the lady was saying, I had to go out and move my car. And she got the same response back. Well, you got to start over again. I was like, ooh, Lord. And when she came back to my window, she was like, okay, Mr. Gardner, we're done. You have a wonderful weekend. I say, you too. Thank you so much for all your help. I'm going to tell them on my way out they ought to give you a raise.
Uh-oh.
What's your last name? What you allow to manifest in your life has the ability to produce the blessing around your life. Remember, God said he'll cause your enemies to be your footstool. He's not meaning that you can put your foot on them. He's meaning that they'll be under the enhancement, that they'll do what you need them to do.
Yes. 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 Amen.
Yes.
Without you begging or screaming at them to get it done. I used to go with Pastor Hart, and he'd get anything he wanted. When he got through telling them how great they are, how beautiful they were, what his church was, they were his church, giving them stuff out of his pocket. He always had trinkets in his pocket. Here, this angel is for you. They go right on your lapel. I was so embarrassed. I said, you can't go nowhere with him. And now I'm doing it. Be careful who you laugh at. I can't tell you how many times I used to laugh at him about his zipper. Remember? Come out with his zipper. I always unzip. I laughed and said, zipper up. I can't tell you how many times in the last 9 years I've come out on this platform and somebody went, I think one time my shirt was even hanging out of it. Yeah, my bad. Okay. Just make sure that you transmit the right things to people. Show them love in spite of who they are or what you think they are.
Amen.
But you can't do it if you don't do it in Christ.
Amen.
Jesus loved everybody. Even though he called them vipers, he called them what they were. We're about to close. Amen.
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 I'm going to read this to you from start to finish. Where do we start? 12?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to make it so simple to you. It will be impossible for you to not understand it. This is 12. Susan, find it. Okay. The moral of his story was, you can't imprison the message. They can't lock up the God that's in you.
Come on now.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
I want to report to you, friends, that my imprisonment here has had the opposite of its intended effect. Instead of being squelched, the message has actually prospered. All the soldiers here, and everyone else too, found out that I'm in jail because of this Messiah. That piqued their curiosity. And now they've learned all about him. Not only that, but most of the followers of Jesus here have become far more sure of themselves in the faith than ever. Remember, he's in prison, speaking out fearlessly about God, about the Messiah. 15 through 17. It's true that some here preach Christ because of with me out of their way. They think they'll step right into the spotlight. I mean, people you know like that. You can't never get a word in edgewise. But the others do it with the best heart in the world. One group is motivated by pure love, knowing that I am here defending the message, wanting to help. The others, now that know that I'm out of here, out of the picture, are merely greedy, hoping to get something out of it for themselves. What he's saying is, somebody, they're out there now preaching a gospel that they heard me preach, not really understanding what they're preaching.
Right.
But if they know if they say the right thing,
they'll get paid.
We ain't even gonna go there. Amen. I've been here a long time. I've seen a lot of things. Anyway, the others, now that I'm out of picture, are merely greedy, hoping to get something out of it for themselves. Their motives are bad. They see me as their competition, and so the worst goes out from me to them. That's what they chose. So he was saying they're not doing it for the gospel's sake.
No.
They're doing it for their glory's sake.
Yeah.
And it is so important that we understand that God has called us to something better than that.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
You know, we go downtown and we do stuff, and we don't do it to be seen. You know, we do it because that's what God has called us to do.
Amen.
And they say, well, why do you go? Because I'm part of the ministry too.
Amen.
And I'll be wanting to go sometimes, especially if it's too cold. Y'all think I'm playing. And I don't do nothing but stand there and watch out for them and watch out for the cars. God forbid one of the cars go rolling down the street and ain't none of them in it. So God is moving in a supernatural way.
Amen.
Like Pastor Ernie said, now when we get down there, it's like they recognize our cars.
Yep.
They surely see Reverend Perez Greenwood, because he'd be spitting around in that, what is that, a Barracuda or something? What is it?
Challenger.
A Challenger. Anyway, you can hear it.
Right.
You know, so they recognize the different vehicles.
Right.
And one time we weren't going to give out anything, and the people had formed a line outside of the vehicles, which left us no choice but to give it out. Why? Because they know we're not there to be seen to do it, but they understand that we're doing it out of love.
Amen.
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 Even the ones that have bad attitudes and try to trick you into getting extra. A lot of times we just give it to them. So they're not tricking us. They're just getting it.
Amen.
Why? Because it's ministry.
Amen.
It's all ministry. Everything you do in your life today,
yes,
and from now on,
yes,
has got to do with ministry.
Amen.
Ministry means that you minister, or you allot yourself, or you place yourself in somebody else's life so that they can have the joy and the peace that you experience.
Amen.
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 You have to go through things that you don't really want to go through. I can't stand being sick.
No.
So what happens? I get sick. I can't stand pain. What happens? Got pain everywhere. Anything that you can't stand is probably what you're going to have to deal with. Like the Old Testament Psalms, it tells you, paraphrase, praise Him in all things.
Yes.
Thank God for everything that you go through and that you deal with, and do it with joy.
Yeah. Yes.
It ain't always easy to do it with joy. You know, because sometimes I'm up here preaching and I got pain in my back, I got pain in my knees, my wrist is hurting, and I'm talking to God while I'm preaching. Lord, now I'm up here preaching your gospel. You need to heal me. And God said, I need to make sure you keep teaching that gospel. So what do? You keep teaching the gospel. And you eventually, you forget that you hurt. You forget you don't feel good.
Amen.
You forget you're sick. And you do what God has called you to do. We go to work sick. Don't let it be double time. Baby, you would put a body cast on to get to work. Well, we ought to serve God the same way.
Amen.
With diligence.
Amen.
Amen. Be diligent in what we do for God. This man is locked up. He said, notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And therein do we rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. You notice he didn't say, I will rejoice. He said, will rejoice. Because he wants you to know that it's a corporate thing.
That's right.
It's not individual with him. It's corporate. Concerning all the people that he's ministered to while he's been incarcerated.
Amen.
We're incarcerated with pain.
Yep.
We're incarcerated with financial difficulties.
Amen.
How are you incarcerated? Because it's got you by the nape of your neck, and it causes you to think about it on a continual basis. How do you get out of the situation that you're in? I've been asking God to teach me how to praise you while I'm in it. And I've watched God do the miraculous. Amen. God does the miraculous. got to do is remember that we're not living this life for ourselves. We're living for somebody else. We're living for somebody else that needs to know that Jesus is still alive. And he's alive in his people who have the ability to show forth and manifest the glory of the Father. Jesus told him, he said, look here. You looking at me, but what you really looking at, you looking at my Father.
Amen.
And you looking for my Father, and he's in me.
Amen.
And when you start looking for my Father, you'll see me in him.
Right.
It's important that people get to a place in our lives where they can actually see God in you. From your gestures, from your attitude, from your disposition. That you radiate love. And we don't want to love everybody. It's hard to love people that you know absolutely in front of you hate you. And not ashamed about it. But you love them, you comfort them, you encourage them, nevertheless. Because that's who you are. In spite of who they are. Amen.
Amen.
Take somebody by the hand this morning as we get ready to go to the throne of God in prayer.
Allow this man which was in my son also to be in you. For even though he was God and he was in me and I in him, he became lower than the angels and he walked among you. And he manifested my character and my glory. He was God and yet he bowed himself down to become a servant. And he served out my purpose and my will. And I have placed that same purpose, that same will in your life to be carried out so that many might be brought in. Ah, the fields are white, but the laborers are few. But I have called you that you may go out and that you may minister according to my purpose and according to my will, according to my design. That many-membered body that I have put forth in the earth may be increased. Yeah, many are the trials that you shall go through, but am I not with you? Was I with my son? When he went to the cross, I was with him. I went all the way with him. Even though I could not look upon him after carried out the final of his mission, yet I still was with him.
Mm-hmm.
And I shall be with you in the midst of your trial.
Yes.
Be faithful unto me, and I shall be faithful unto you. Draw near to me, and I shall draw near to you to encourage you, to lift you up, to keep you in all your ways, saith the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. In all our ways.
Amen.
It's important that we understand that tongues are given under the inspiration of God, the Spirit of God. And the interpretation of those tongues is also given by the inspiration of God, where God uses his word to dictate and prophesy or speak to us of things that we don't hear or understand. God reveals it and makes it known unto us. So this morning, as we get ready to go to the throne of God, I'm going to ask Pastor Keys to pray, since he already has the mic in his hand, for your strength, God to give you the understanding.
Yes.
And most important, for him to provide the peace in your life.
Yes.
That you need.
Yes.
So that you'll be uplifted, strengthened, and fortified by the word of God.
Yes.
In your life.
Father, we give you thanks.
Yes.
We give you praise.
Yes.
First of all, for who you are, Lord.
Yes.
Because you are our protector and our way maker and our deliverer. You are our healer, Lord. Lord God, you call us to be together, Lord God, with one mind, one accord, with one purpose, your purpose, Lord God. You strengthening us in that purpose, Lord God, as your word goes forth. We're encouraged by what we hear, Lord God. We're encouraged by what we see in your word. Lord God, let us be fortified, Lord God, when we're alone, Lord God. Let not the loneliness nor the despair, Lord God, get us off track.
Yes.
But let our mind stay upon you,
yes,
Lord God, even as your son stayed upon you. He said, let this mind be in you, which was also in him, Lord God, that when they look upon us, that they would see your nature and your character within us, Lord God, that they might say, what time must I do to be saved, Lord God? Lord God, strengthen your body even more by your word, Lord God, which you've given unto us from the beginning. That word that saves and heals and sets free, Lord God, is strengthened. We thank you for it, Lord God. Lord God, let us be more mindful of it, Lord God. Let us pay attention to it, Lord God. For in it, Lord God, is the issues of life. In it is our strength and our life. Lord God, I thank you right now for touching even everyone that is here, Lord God, with your power, with your anointing, Lord God, and with your purpose. We thank you for it. We thank you for it making a difference in our lives, Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hallelujah. Come on, praise. Come on now. Thank you, Jesus. You may be seated. Glory to the living God. Amen. Glory to God. God is so gracious. Amen. And he's such a blessing to us. Amen.
Amen.
And we just keep running and running and running and running. We're not running from anything. We're running into something.
Amen.
My constant prayer for all of us is that God give us a greater understanding of his scriptures.
Yes.
Amen.
That he might reveal to us who he really is, that we might know him in the power of his resurrection. And that's what we all want to do, know him in the power of his resurrection.
Yes.
So we can be strengthened and we can call those things that are not as though they were. We can start speaking things into our lives that we need in our lives.
Amen.
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 If we can't believe God to bless us, we can't believe God to bless others.
Amen.
Amen. Is that true?
Yeah.
Amen.
So that's what we have to do. And that's how we get it done. We just trust God and we believe God. That's pretty, don't we? I was watching him Friday when he was playing. He was sick. He didn't feel good, but you couldn't tell. He had that organ talking.
Yes. Yes.
Amen. Amen. And that's the blessing. It don't matter how you feel, it don't stop the anointing.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Amen. We preached last week. Oh, I did. What'd you say, Pastor Hadith?
Oh, no.
She need to be. First lady preaching next Sunday.